For those who are not the targets, but who are so often the victims, it is terrifying.
Today on Vox Talks, how Twitter is changing the way that journalists report the news. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. The social media offers the chance to make us all into citizen journalists. And if we witness news, well, now we can report it. It's normal to see mobile phone footage now from war zones on the evening news. But does this also change the emotional content of that news? And how much time is given to those stories? A new discussion paper uses social media posts from Israel and Palestine to make the first systematic analysis of the impact of Twitter in the newsroom, and it makes fascinating reading. Yekaterina Zuravskaya of the Paris School of Economics and the CEPR is one of the authors, and she joins us today. Katya, welcome to Vox Talks.
Thank you very much. Hello, Tim. It's really lovely to be here, and I'm happy to talk about my recent work with Sophie Att and Etienne Madinier. And I would like right away to give the main message of the paper to our listeners. We document that social media posts from the conflict zone increase the traditional media coverage of the conflicts and change the way the news on conflicts are presented, making them more emotional and more focused on the sufferings of civilians and less on such topics as diplomacy or elections.
This is a very important, it's quite surprising result, I think, to some people. So let's dig into this, Katya. Why is social media particularly important as an aspect of the reporting of military conflicts?
One should expect social media to have a larger impact on the traditional media coverage of those topics for which reporting is dangerous, events are unpredictable, and the sites of the events are inaccessible. Conflicts often satisfy all of these criteria. That said, as we only study news on conflict, I cannot claim that these effects are not there for other topics. I would suspect, for example, that there are similar effects for news on such topics as police violence.
You focused in this paper on a news story. It's very much in our minds at the moment. It's on the news all the time, and that's the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now, if I'm a reporter and I have to file news stories on this, what different ways might I approach this story?
Reporters, of course, always need to produce the factual information, what has happened. But then they can focus on the role of international community and diplomacy, the role of domestic policy. They should or can describe the military capabilities of the two sides. Or they can tell a story of ordinary people who are caught in the conflict. And what we show is that social media in the conflict zone changes the relative focus of these different angles in the news, giving more room to voices of ordinary people.
Why did you pick the US TV news? It's a long way from the conflict zone and not, say, local Middle Eastern media.
First, we want to document how social media affects how the Western world perceives the conflict that takes place far away. The second reason is more pragmatic, simply the data availability. To be able to do this analysis, one needs transcripts of all news, which is not always easy to get hold of. There is another reason as well. Foreign correspondents of big media outlets, such as CNN or Fox News, they do not rely on local internet connectivity to produce their news stories, unless they want to use the information available on local media and social media as a source. Foreign journalists have satellite phones when they go into the dangerous conflict areas. This is not always the case for domestic journalists from smaller media outlets, and this is important for our story.
So how do you isolate the impact of tweets on this type of reporting? Because I can imagine it's not a simple one-way causal relationship, and there are plenty of other variables that you're not observing here. How can you do this?
One cannot just look at a simple correlation between tweeting in the conflict zone and TV coverage of the conflict. Why? Well, because simply newsworthiness of the conflict events could drive this correlation. There could also be reverse causality, namely that TV stories could generate a response and discussion on social media. So, to overcome this problem, we use internet outages in the conflict zone to identify the effect. These internet outages are driven by thunderstorms, which produce lightning strikes, which give the electrostatic discharges, which reduce connectivity, but also technical failures. When we measure the amount of traffic between the local geographical area and the rest of the World Wide Web, and sometimes it just stops, which means that the users on the ground in the conflict zone cannot connect with the rest of the World Wide Web.
We know, though, that the Israeli army has a lot of expertise in cybersecurity. Are you sure that the internet outages in the region here are random? They're independent of the level of conflict?
This is another excellent question, and there are several important aspects to the answer of it. First, we show that there is no correlation between internet outages and the number or the social demographic composition of the victims. So that's the first piece of evidence. Second, there are two sources of internet outages which we study, the thunderstorms and the technical failures. As far as the thunderstorms is concerned, they are not driven by Israelis, and our results are robust to using only those internet outages that are caused by lightning strikes. However, it is important to note, and you are absolutely right to ask this question, that Israel has the technical capabilities to pull the plug and disconnect Gaza from the internet entirely. There are two questions which arise here. First, if this happens, how this would affect our results? And second, whether they actually do this. So for the first question, it turns out that our results would have been weaker if Israelis caused internet outages. This is because the only reason to do this is to prevent or to hide from the journalists some kind of newsworthy events. So a priori, there should be more news on the day of outages because there are more newsworthy events, and we actually find less news. Furthermore, there is a lot of anecdotal evidence that Israel actually does not pull the plug. And this is because it's very costly and it disrupts the local economy well beyond the physical damage from the targeted attacks. There are other means of interference by cybersecurity. For example, if it's necessary, they can do the local signal jamming, for example, to prevent a coordination at a rally or a DDoS attack on a particular internet resource, which they deem dangerous. But these do not affect internet outages as we measure them. So we are pretty confident in identification.
Silkatia, what's the impact of these outages on the volume of tweets that you're measuring?
On average, an internet outage leads to about 18% decrease in the number of tweets from Israel and Palestine about the conflict. Why, you would ask, it's not the full decline to the zero? Well, that's because actually there are ways to avoid the problems which are associated with lightning strikes if you have a power surge protection technology, and you could avoid using the autonomous systems of Israel and Palestine if you have a satellite phone. So even these internet outages do not shut down the internet completely.
And the amount of coverage in US news when there are these outages, does that reduce?
Such a decline in tweets, which is driven by internet outages, causes about a 50% decline in the length of news about the conflict relative to its mean level, and about a quarter decrease in the probability of coverage.
That is very big. Now, also, you have measured the impact on the tone of reporting. I can see how you can measure the amount of reporting, just how long the news reports are, but how can you go about measuring tone?
Linguists, psychologists, and computer scientists together worked to develop a methodology which actually we use off the shelf. They put together so-called emotional lexicons that allow measuring the emotional intensity of a text. and we use these transcripts as a text. In particular, the emotional lexicons assign to each word the emotional score for different basic emotions, such as anger, fear, sadness, or joy, for example. And we use these lexicons in two ways. By first simply summing up all the scores and dividing by the total number of words in a story, that gives us a measure of emotional intensity of a story. Or we also do a more sophisticated analysis, which takes into account negations, degree modifiers, contrasting sentences. So it's not just looking at the text as a collection of words, set of words, but actually trying to analyze the sentences. Both approaches yield that negative emotions of traditional news are higher with social media. So, and if you are asking what is the magnitude of this, it's a significant magnitude, actually. It's very hard to sort of express it, because I can tell you that with the internet outage, the emotional intensity decreases by 7% of the standard deviation in this variable. But that may not be meaningful to all listeners. So just to give you an example, this is equivalent to a difference between the emotional intensity of the word disagreement and the word catastrophe.
I see.
Just to give you a sense of how different the effect is. In addition, the mentions of civilians increase by 6% and the mentions of children, babies, teenagers by 17% of their respective means when there are no internet outages in the conflict zone.
Is this the same effect on both sides of the conflict for both Israelis and Palestinians?
That's another excellent question. The effect on emotions is driven entirely by days when Palestinians are dying. Because US TV news are very emotional on the days when the Israelis have casualties, particularly civilian casualties, with or without social media. Why would that be the case? Well, this is because IDF does everything to provide access to foreign journalists in order to help them to cover these stories, in sharp contrast to the access that journalists get when Palestinians are dying. Yet, that said, it is important to note that for the extent of coverage, we find that both Palestinian and Israeli civilians that are affected by the conflict get more coverage on the US TV due to the social media activity in the conflict zone. However, on average, in any given time period, the additional TV coverage of conflict due to the absence of internet outages in the conflict zone is devoted to covering Palestinian civilians 7 times more than Israeli civilians, because Palestinian side has order of magnitude larger civilian death toll. To me, this result highlights essentially a democratizing role of social media in conflicts, which gives voice to civilians irrespective of the military outcomes of the conflict or gatekeepers of conflict-related information.
Now, we're talking about the US media as if it's one thing, but clearly politics is very polarized in the US at the moment, and that's reflected in news coverage very often. So we have on one side PBS, maybe MSNBC, and on the other side Fox News, and they often report the same story in a completely different way. So is this Twitter effect that you're noticing here consistent across all of those networks?
It depends on what kind of the effect we're talking about. As far as the effect on the extent of coverage, it is consistent across all networks, all US networks which we study, and we study 8 different US networks. Also, we look at Al Jazeera America, which is a Qatari network, as a benchmark, and there is a similar effect across all networks. At the same time, on the emotions and topics, it's not the case that we find the effect for all networks. We do find similar effects for most US networks, but for example, for PBS, they are not affected at all as far as the choice of topics and the emotional content is concerned. The same thing for Al Jazeera America. You are absolutely right that PBS is the most liberal network among those that we study, yet this lack of emotional response to social media on their part is not due to the liberal conservative slant of the outlet. The reason is that we do find effects for such different networks as MSNBC, CNN on one hand, and Fox News and NBC on the other hand. So why there are some heterogeneous effects for PBS, we don't know, and this is the subject for further research by media specialists, I think.
It seems like what we're saying is that shutting down social media, shutting down the internet, is something that some governments have used as a tactic in conflicts recently means that reporters tend to report military action, political action, rather than go into detail about the impact on ordinary people. I guess this is to the advantage of some politicians in a conflict.
And this is why we conclude that social media helps to give the world a completely different, much more personal view of the conflict, which otherwise the world wouldn't get.
Fascinating research, Katya. Very important as well, I think. Thank you very much for talking to me about it today.
Thank you.
If you want to read the discussion paper, it's called Reading Twitter in the Newsroom, How Social Media Affects Traditional Media Reporting of Conflicts. And the authors are Sophie Att, Etienne Madinier, and Yekaterina Zoroskaya. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week. So subscribe to Vox Talks, you'll never miss an episode. And remember, there are 12 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.